Good morning. Somebody else joined us.
Morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Good.
Dottie's with us, too. Dottie, a little later, we're going to have something a little bit different happen this morning, and when it does, if you've got any background noise, just mute out.
Yeah, I'm home now, so there's no noises.
Okay. It's completely clear. I can hear that now, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We were on Ruth's call last night, and, oh, they had a lot of trouble with the line. It was just snapping and buzzing. Every once in a while we get that happen with this company, and I don't know exactly why it does. I don't think anybody has been. So far I haven't heard an explanation. You know, people went out and redialed and did all kinds of interesting things, and then it would clear up, and then it'd come right back before they even got back on. So.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's annoying, but anyway, they're at least they're all regular people. They're not prospects. You're not dealing with a situation where they're brand new people wondering, what level of service do you have here, people?
Right, I hear you.
And not realizing that we can't control it anyway. I'm just glancing through the new Veggie Times, or Vegetarian, they call it. Vegetarian Times is the correct pronunciation of the title, or the correct title. Now, how they can come up with so many different kinds. I keep looking at the way they do the photographing, and I'm thinking, now there's looks like almost like a sweater laying on the table next to this plate, and fork turned sideways and a glass of water at the top of it. And it, all you see really is this beautiful plate of food. And so yesterday, before I took my dish to the Grange, I photographed it, and there was...
It's arrived.
There wasn't a bare spot in the kitchen to do it, so I threw a dish towel on the table. It looks like a placemat, crumpled it up a bit and set it. Not on the table, on my stove, and put the fan that goes down, that drops down into the counter, up, and it's a satin finished stainless steel, and it made a reflection of a little bit, a distorted reflection of color in the background. Came out kind of cool, so when I get ready to, when I get it typed today as I planned,
Betty, it's arrived,
and send it out, you guys will have to see what you think. You can't really tell it's an induction stove, but I'm looking at a picture of an avocado used as a light bulb, half an avocado, and they're showing it as a light bulb, which is kind of creative advertising. It says, it's a full-page ad. It says, vitamins, minerals, and great ideas. With nearly 20 essential vitamins and minerals, and even more ways to serve them, avocados from Mexico add a rich, creamy texture to meals you make every day. I'm going kind of blundering through this. Slice them on a salad, spread them on a sandwich, or top off your chili or soup. Visit our website for more ways to get benefits of avocados and the smiles of your family. Let's see, probably, you know, I hate it when they print a very fine lettered print. I'm setting under the new light, and it does make it much easier to read, but they still printed, lime green with just one or two shades darker green over the top of it, and the print is so fine lettered and so tiny. Definitely I need my glasses changed, but it is as small as the print on the prescription instructions. Okay, here's the website, though, if anybody wants it. Discover all the health benefits at the Amazing Avocado .com. That's not a website. That is an email address. Sorry about that. That's all they've got here. So I guess says website, and then they give you an email address. That's pretty bad. At the top it says the amazing avocado, but it's listed as a trademark. That is pretty poor. Somebody's got their head in the sand. Okay, I heard Betty.
Yes?
Came on. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning to you.
And somebody else clicked in. I'll say this more than once. We're going to have kind of a surprise. Not kind of, it's going to be a surprise. A little bit later, and if you get background noise, please mute out.
Has arrived.
Good morning. Somebody just joined us.
Good morning. This is Onita.
Good morning, Onita. We're going to have a little bit of a surprise in a few minutes here, and when that takes place, if you guys have any background noise, mute out, please. I could mute everybody, but I'm going to try just leaving it open, and I don't kind of want to not have interruptions because we're going to have a very limited amount of time. I asked a special favor today, and it was granted, so if everything goes great. Anyway, any questions or comments at this point? I did try that new soup recipe. It was really good. We didn't actually eat it because I found a leftover one in the refrigerator as I'm digging for something else that was just enough for one serving. So I had, it's so fun just to modify these things. It was a corn soup, and it was like a corn chowder, and I think this came out of one of those quart packages. It was one of the times when I wanted something really, really light and grabbed one of those because I also was busy with other things, and warmed it up, and I can't remember what we had with it, salad and something else, hummus with some of the homemade crackers, I think, that I made in blended dehydrator. But anyway, I just took it and then cut some of the corn on the cob because I'd been doing whatever Denny would bring in, I would cook up. It'd usually be like four or five ears, and then I'd only offer one for him to eat because I didn't think we needed that much. And trying to eat lighter in the evening, especially when we've eaten more during the day. And so anyway, just sliced in some of that leftover corn that had been steamed at the same time as what we ate into the chowder, and it just didn't, oh man, he just thought it was absolutely great. And I go, that was one of those real bargain buys I got, and it was organic, and it was just great for pinch hitting once in a while. And Jeannie
has arrived.
Good morning, Jeannie.
Morning.
So anyway, taking the leftovers, I didn't even use the new soup I made and used that instead. And the one that I made up yesterday that I was going to use because I cooked part of it the night before just because I was in the kitchen, I'm going to read it down to you. And I'm going to read it for half a batch because probably most of you are not going to do, need a soup for 20 servings unless you're doing a larger gathering or you want to freeze it. When I try it, I usually don't do that big of a batch. Got to get a sip of liquid here. It's ginger beet soup. I gave you the lentil one the other day. And I talked about the bouquet garnet yesterday, and that's what started me on it, but I'm sure I didn't give you the recipe for it. I don't think I did. I think I gave you the recipe for the lentil soup because we'd had that the night before.
I've got both written down.
Oh, do you? Okay, well then I guess I don't need to repeat it. So I will just tell you, that's right, because it was really short. Thank you, Onita. It was very good. I sampled it. It had a different flavor because of the ginger. And yesterday when my throat was feeling dry, I'll remind you to what I've been doing, remind you of what I have been doing when this happens. I hadn't done it for a couple of weeks, I guess, maybe now. That I really like a way of getting more ginger in is slice a couple fresh slices in the bottom of your cup and before you make your tea, and I really like it with green tea, just put it in the bottom of the cup and then your tea bag and make a cup of tea with it, and you've got a different flavor. This morning I had let it set, and I had actually added water a couple of times just to the cup, hot water, and so it was just ginger sliced in hot water, and it took us about, couple tablespoon sip out of the cup, and then was going to toss the ginger. It was very strong ginger. I know I got a good amount of ginger in that. Very strong ginger water. So that comes from all that dissertation from Oz talking about, or somebody, maybe with Nancy's information.
We used to do that when we couldn't, because talking all the time. And somebody told me that years ago, if you take ginger and put it and pour water on it, make a ginger tea. It's so good. It soothes your throat. It's great for a sore throat. Any of that.
It really did do just exactly that.
I haven't done that in a while, though.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one thing. I know it's repetition for people, and they might, of course, we're singing to the choir here today. And that's why I made a special surprise for all you guys and didn't announce it to anybody else. So, anyway, I will leave the entry chimes on until get the arrival, and then we'll go from there, which should be any minute. Don't really want to get... Anybody have a comment or a question?
On the beet soup, real quick, because I wrote it on a little sticky note.
Okay.
It's six... I'm going to read down just... you have it there in front of you?
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh.
Okay. 6 cups of onion, 5 pounds of beets that are roasted at 350, 2 tablespoons of garlic, 3 tablespoons of fresh ginger, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 6 cups of vegetable broth, 3 teaspoons of sea salt, 4 cups of cashew cream, 1 bouquet garnet.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's
and
it.
Add onion, beet, garlic, cook, add broth, 30 minutes simmer, blend, add the cashew cream. Cashew cream is 1 cup of cashews to 1 quart of water.
Right.
Okey-dokey. Good.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, and I roasted, I don't know how long, they didn't have a time on roasting the, they didn't have a time on roasting the beets in the oven, but I roasted them, it seemed like I cut them in quarters. I peeled them and then cut them in quarters. Maybe that was why it took longer, because they weren't sealed in their peel to steam. But they seemed to take a long time to cook. But also they'd been in the refrigerator quite a while, and part of the reason I was using them up for soup is I knew they weren't as fresh, and I had cut out some bad spots, those kinds of things. So maybe they had dried out enough that they seemed firmer. I'm going to guess 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 20, 40, 60, maybe even up close to an hour and a half. They were in the oven. I don't think they would normally take that long, and they were also large ones that were cut in quarters or even smaller, percentage-wise, because none of the chunks were that small. And I didn't want to have to mess with peeling them afterwards, and there was, like I said, spots to cut out. So all that combination, and it made it, take a little longer, but it wasn't doing anything to them except just checking them a couple more times probably. And the process was easy, and of course it's blended in the blender when you're all through, even with the cashew. I just put the cashew cream in and blended it.
Oh.
And then having cooked everything in the pot the night before, then through what was left in there, I may have to adjust the liquid amount in it. It may be pretty thick, because it had cooked down even what was in the pot, because I finished cooking the beets, or cooked them until they were quite soft. And I was wondering if they were really going to go to cream in the blender and the Vitamix, and they did. So
I was going to ask.
because they were still pretty firm, but oh my gosh, it's silky smooth and the flavor of the ginger.
Vance Rogers
has arrived.
Good morning. Well, our guest speaker has arrived. But it was here. He started in on me yesterday when we got together with just a few tidbits that related to food and diet and disease and illnesses, and I said, ooh, make that a special short, and he's only got about 10 minutes, guys. So anyway, go ahead, Vance. Let's hear what you thought of Ethiopia as well as, I'm going to click off these chimes here real fast, if I can unbury my phone wherever it's moved to under my books. Hi, Vance.
Good morning. Good morning, all of you who are on the call. You know, to start with, it's always interesting when you travel anywhere outside of your own little home network of area, what you're used to, because you start to discover that people groups, especially outside of the U.S., or I should say U.S. and North America, and I have to include other areas of the world where North Americans had a strong presence. For example, Okinawa, Japan, heaviest as far as weight-wise group of Japanese in the entire country. Why is that? Well, it's because of the presence of the American military that's there, and that's been like that for the last 50 years, ever since World War II. When you travel to a country in Africa, you start to see, for the most part, that only those who are wealthy have more money are the ones that are meat eaters. It's always interesting because don't have extra excessive finances to live off the land. And as a result, are all the healthier for it. What we saw in a country of around, there's that from our experience, just traveling around the capital city of Addis Ababa, which has 4 million people in it, I might have seen one or two people that were over their ideal weight. One that I'm thinking of was a diplomat, a government. But and I think I spotted one other. But it always fascinates me because I start to look around, and of course I'm lots and lots of questions about the culture to learn as much as we possibly can about it beforehand or afterwards. We're out and about. I just kept asking nationals, you know, this and that. There's no, absolutely no presence of fast food, especially American fast food restaurants. It's not in their culture. There's no McDonald's, there's no Burger King, no KFC, Pizza Hut, the list goes on and on. They do not allow American franchises, period. They don't allow. There are a couple reasons. One, nobody has any money to start a franchise. $1 million might get you started into a McDonald's franchise just for the contract of the building and all that. But that's non-existent. They do have some, what we would call typically fast food restaurants, but they said they're not that popular because Ethiopians as a culture, they sit down and enjoy as a group, family. Therefore, they tend to eat lower and not consume fast on-the-go style that we're used to. And it was a great eye-opener that, again, as an entire culture, again, I was just shocked that as we were driving around, I finally just asked, you know, restaurants here, what's the deal? Have them that way. The capital city where we were is 8,000 feet elevation, but he walks everywhere. Air thinner, really have to be determined. And I suppose once you're acclimated to it, it's an entirely different story. But one of the guys that was adopted his parents went out jogging every day, and when he came back, I look at him and I said, man, you are absolutely insane for doing that. And he said, yeah, that last hill was a bit much of a stretch. incredible experience to put on the observing eyes and listening what we can absorb. Going from there to Holland Stream, which I believe, Mom, you were the one that quoted me this, that all the European countries, the Dutch, have the shortest life expectancy because, again, of the culture and the lifestyle. Huge amount of cheese.
Actually, Vance, it was in China, I'll just mention it because that's a little different than what I use regularly, and that is it is the highest rate of breast cancer. That was just the one study that they quoted, and when Campbell was looking at it, was the rates of breast cancer all over the world. And he said, somewhere in there, he said, the other diseases follow. So in essence, it would probably come out to that, but that was not...
Well, at least among females, if breast cancer is the cause of death.
Right.
But, the Dutch is a people, especially if you just centered around Amsterdam, which again, it would be comparable to Las Vegas. You can't judge America by just visiting Las Vegas because you're not getting a good taste of our culture in its entirety. But those that are in and around Amsterdam live a totally different lifestyle. Morals, the values, the complete lack of them. Marijuana, the drug consumption, perversion and all that stuff. But that's not the norm. But even when you start, when we met and talked with some of the other Dutch in the outlying areas, you can see how much the diet does impact them. I'm all for, enjoying a moderate lifestyle, but not to the extremes. Again, coming from a culture after spending 6 days in a country where, and I'm sure they do consume some dairy, but not to the amount of meat that they do eat that we discovered is always lamb, goats. So it's much, much leaner than having a big steak or something like that. But again, across the board, our country of people that literally live off the land, there are vegetables everywhere. For every five or six of those, you might see a little meat market, big lab of a goat or a lamb hanging up. So very, very fascinating. Drink a lot of coffee. We
did you create a new habit?
Yes, I did. I haven't had any today, so I'm already having the withdrawals after a week and a half of having it every morning. But the way they do it, again, is more of a ceremonial, that they roast the beans right there to partake of the beverage, grind them up into the grounds, and then make the coffee. As a matter of fact, it's a... anytime somebody is leaving to go say goodbye, have what they call a coffee ceremony. I mean, there was one taking place in the airport that I guess you could pay a few burr, drinking coffee and kernels of popcorn. But
do you have any idea how long the roasting? You said they just roast it in a dry pan.
Dry pan over an open flame. One of the orphanages that we visited, they were doing it for us, just as visitors. I didn't get a chance to see how long they roasted them, but they were taking real beans that had just, I don't know how recently they'd been picked, but they were roasting them right in front of us. Pounding the living daylights out of them to make the powder. No electric coffee grinders of that sort.
So you also mentioned that my excuse for drinking a cup of coffee is with dessert.
That's one thing I completely forgot. Dessert is non-existent. They don't eat sweets, and they just don't. Huge big deal for us passing out dum-dum suckers. That was huge. Give them to the kids, and immediately the adults would perform as well. Because it's not in the culture, period. If you go to any restaurant, they don't have dessert. When the last day we were there and we were walking up around in the neighborhood, I found a little store, and girls wanted an ice cream bar, and I tasted it, and why they're not prevalent. And all that appetizing. They enjoyed it because it was ice cream. Kenna said she didn't like it now. But the entire culture, they just don't have the things that we would have. And hear that to desserts or do. And then you come back here to the States, desserts for breakfast. But we call them donuts, you know, or breakfast cakes. But give me a break. It's.
But you had something else served with it.
With?
The coffee.
The popcorn.
Yeah, the popcorn.
Yeah, wow. We could never figure out. And they said, I asked that question. I said, why popcorn? And they said, well, it's kind of a symbolism to the, you know, two things that are natural that come from the earth, the coffee bean grows, and then the corn. So, and true coffee ceremony have some type of corn kernel. This is a lot easier, so this is widely accepted. But it's basically a Thanksgiving of this is something that comes from the earth, so we're going to enjoy a lot of vegetables. We didn't consume as much fruit as I thought we would, but a lot of vegetables. Mix them in with everything.
And I'm sure you had grains in with what you were eating when you say vegetables.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep.
But that's the stability. I will have to tell you, I did open the package of coffee, and I did do it the way you said, and I did have fresh popcorn. Mine just happened to be horrible Redenbacher's. Came out wonderful, and it was a great taste test. But I'm thinking, obviously, you wouldn't do that. They wouldn't probably do that early in the morning, afternoon. But, you know, we were getting late into the evening, so that was probably not the best choice of time to have.
And what's fascinating, too, at all these different coffee ceremonies that we observe, really small, small cups of coffee. When, like, as we as Americans are drinking the Grand or the Venti or, you know, the Starbucks sizes, 8, 12, 16 ounces of coffee. That's not a little tiny cup.
More like an espresso cup, a small, where they're
more like an espresso cup, and it's,
okay.
And it's drank over several minutes and enjoyed. And it comes down to the consumption. We as a culture could push back from a little bit with the size that we were.
Well, it's definitely fun to experience the different traditions in the countries around food, and I will be anxious because I have yet to gone into an Ethiopian restaurant that I recall of doing, and I come to find out there are quite a few listed in Portland, and so
especially on the East Coast, if you're anywhere near D.C., there are 400,000 Ethiopians that live in and around the D.C. area, and a lot of the other cities that we discovered talking to some of the other Americans. Highly recommend looking up and going and visiting one. Injera is the main bread product that's consumed, and it's made out of a grain called teft, smaller than a mustard seed type grain, and they pound it out and make it into flour, and then injera is more like a crepe, and it's always just laid flat on the plate, and no silverware is used, and injera and tear off a piece of whatever the entree is that's piled in the middle of the plate. Usually it's a vegetable type dish, type of sauce. Sometimes there may be, but highly recommend it. And if you don't know what to order, just ask whoever the server is. Tell me what kind of a sampling of what ethnic food is.
What? Do you know how you spell that, Dan?
Injera?
Yes.
No, not how do you spell injera? Not a clue.
Injera. Injera.
Yeah, and the grain, Bob's Red Mill actually spells the grain to teft. T-E-F-T or maybe it's T-E-F-F.
No, T-E-F-F. I've used it, but I didn't know that, and I knew it was a staple of Ethiopia, their grain like our wheat, And but I didn't know that's what they made the crepes out of.
Yeah, the injera.
So that's interesting.
And the injera, the way they make it, is extremely got a vinegarish kind of a sour flavor to it. It's not sweet like you'd taste grape or a French grape. No, not at all. Really kind of got a bitter flavor to it.
We had something equivalent to that. Similar, I should say, when we ate at Sunday afternoon at the Indian restaurant that was spinach on one side and probably about 18 inches in diameter and just folded over. And when she brought it to the table, it had two dipping bowls to dip it into. And she said, just tear off a piece. You'll need to eat that first, she said, even before the appetizer that had been there for a few minutes and we hadn't finished. She says, switch to that and eat that first because it needs to be eaten while it's warm. And it was extremely good. I mean, it was a different flavor, but it was definitely good. And no, like you said, absolutely no sweetness to it whatsoever, just very savory. And I think I enjoy those things more just because I like to try unique things than Denny did. But, we went through all of it and definitely ate more than what I'm sure they ate at a meal by just ordering two dishes. Oh, do you have just a minute, or do you want to save that when you do one of your other calls, Vance, and that was on the diseases? You're not dealing with traditional. It's totally up to you because I know your time's tight right this morning.
Yeah, basically, but across the board, the two things that are prevalent there that are resulting in 5 million orphans is malaria and AIDS. And malaria is simply, you can treat it. Where we were at, there was no malaria because mosquitoes can't live over a certain elevation. But the AIDS is prevalent, and they're still trying to track down, you know, how that got into the country and how it's being spread. Not from drugs at all, you know, needles or that. It is from lifestyle choices. But across the board that aren't dealing with that we deal with that are related to diet as of what they're consuming and lifestyle of walking everywhere. Across the board. The most never because what you're putting into the body, it shines. Even those who were elderly and even leprosy village. Here's people who are missing fingers and toes because of the disease. They have been treated. That and the lifestyle. Yes, I do need to go, but thank you for the opportunity of sharing.
Well, thank you, and you didn't mention your new daughter. She's beautiful, and they can go to Facebook, and your blog is attached to Facebook also, but for some reason.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that in my weekly email that I send out.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So.
All right, thanks, Mom, for
keeping.
Okay, bye bye, everybody.
Thanks. Well, guys, did you enjoy that?
Oh yeah.
Yes, very much. Thought that was kind of fun. I was hearing it firsthand, and I thought, oh man, I don't want to take notes. I just want him to do it. And I thought he may not get into that much conversation about the food. And, that end of it, and so I gave him the opportunity, and thank you, Steve, for recording it, because a few people that maybe missed the call this morning would like to hear that, but it was just something I figured I could do special for our group.
Yeah.
And give a little bit of insight. I did expect him to talk about Addie, but I knew once he'd get started on that, it would be a replay and emotional, and the girls absolutely loved every bit of it, and of course did not want to leave, take her home with them. And their time in court, I'll add that, was 90 seconds.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And one of the couples that they witnessed before them, they were timing them was like 20 seconds before them. They arrived at the tail end of, I think they were like one of the last ones, if not the last one, to go before the judge because they'd been told that they'd be picked up, and nothing came to pick them up, and so they had to order a taxi or whatever. And when he said they actually contemplated staying until they could bring her home, which I was going to email that. They'd thought of everything, but they voted against that because of the time out of school, and they would have to be, they'd have to re-enter the girls back into school, and with the academics that those girls are keeping up with right now, they didn't want to put them through that. And I'm not, Stacy says, I don't think they would have agreed to that anyway for that long, because they're looking at sometime at the before Thanksgiving or the first week of December as their likely second court date before the American Embassy in Ethiopia. And then they're given, the embassy has 48 hours to finish the paperwork, and they're allowed to leave the country. But legally, she's theirs at this point, and they got some beautiful pictures, and she was just a sweetheart as far as participating with the girls and them, and it was just a joy to see it. So we are even now more excited and anxious than we were before they went, I think. Well, not think, I know. So, I didn't give you any time for questions, but and I doubt that I could answer them anyway, but any thoughts? Interjections?
The little cups of coffee, Ricky's family, they're, when they do little cups of coffee too, they have, they put cardamom in it, and it's very little tiny cups like that.
Oh, okay, cardamom,
yeah.
And I like
it's
that.
It's like a Turkish coffee. You've ever had Turkish coffee?
It's very
sludgy.
Yeah, very heavy. And I asked him how strong it was. I asked Stacy because she very quickly adapted to it and says, oh, I like this.
Yeah.
And so they came back with a supply, and I asked her, I mentioned the roasting process only because I had picked up some Ethiopian coffee at an Asian market, but it is definitely green, and I know it's not roasted. And so when I open it, either I will keep it refrigerated until I roast it. Well, I guess that's what I'll do is refrigerate it until I roast the sections of it, because I definitely want to try the way they do. And I need to visit a few places here to see. I'd love to have one of those little coffee sets. That would be fun. And the small cups that look authentic ones. But I hesitate to even mention that to them because they're going to have enough stuff hauling for a short trip, and they'll probably want to do buy with carry on, but they probably will. Anyway, it was fun hearing about it for us. Just very, of course, we're prejudiced right now. So.
Well, we kind of are too. If we get to know. We know you guys.
Ownership of it there, but anyway, any other comments or topics you guys have on your mind that you would ask? Or Nancy is away today only because she had an appointment this morning and asked if we could swap for Friday. I'm looking at a page, if you subscribe to Veggie Times, page 22, and I just went, the current issue of it, and there's a tray that has a bunch of little rounds in it, which I think came from IKEA, that are magnetic, or at least they're set, let's see, where does it come from? It doesn't say who. These are ideas, like gift ideas, I guess. I'm not seeing. Maybe they all come from whoever the advertising page is. It just says photography, let's see. Collection from L.A.'s Hottest Distinction for it's for spices. They're filled with spices. They do look like IKEA's rounds. I don't know perspective if that's what they would be. Down from the Chin of Evers. it would work. They look, the containers look very similar, but they don't have the ridge around them. They've got clear lids. I'm thinking it's IKEA's or a knockoff. At least it's the same shape. They may not be as big around as IKEA's. IKEA's ones that you can stick on the wall on a magnetic bar are about probably 3.5 inches in diameter. These may be smaller size. But maybe IKEA's got the smaller ones now anyway, and they're in a metal tray. This reminds me very much of the way they served the crepe that Vance was mentioning with their bread. At the Indian restaurant, they had two. One was, as I mentioned before, was a sweet, kind of a slightly sweet sauce, and then the other was just a regular mint sauce with maybe a little bit of oil in it, and you dip the bread, the crepe, in either of those. The only difference in the containers is that they were just straight-sided without the ridge where the lid would cap on. This is for dry spices. So that would be an interesting idea for the motorhome. That's one thing I did not fill up before we left. The only reservation is if one dropped to the floor because of a really bad jar, I'd have spices all over the floor. So maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe a tea bag would be better, easier to clean up. We'll see. Anyway, we are over time, if no one has a last-minute comment. Thanks to Steve and everybody that's on for making it a few fun minutes to share. And we'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you, Shar. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shar.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Thanks.